Chrysalis, written by Bioluminescent and Right Through the Night, read by Flower Parish. This is part two of the Unless You're Careful series, featuring John Antilles and Obi-Wan Kenobi, and the introduction of Anakin Skywalker. Abridged summary. The Butterfly Effect.
Oh, brother, help me out. Keep your eye on me. Don't let me go somewhere. I can't find my way back. No, don't let me go. Don't let me go somewhere. I can't find my way back. No, don't let me go. Don't let me go somewhere. I can't find my way back. No, don't let me go.
You'll do superbly, little one, Master Plo said, brushing lightly through Obi-Wan's unruly hair. Despite the weeks he'd had to grow it out to the new style, his head still felt strangely light in the absence of his braid. You and John will watch each other's backs, of course. Obi-Wan smiled and tugged lightly at the bond connecting him and his previous master. Of course, he said easily. I'm sure I'll be stretched thin keeping up, but what else is new? The flare of outrage on John's part was clearly felt down their pair bond. Obi-Wan could see his friend's subtly enraged expression from the corner of his eye. Amusingly, Master Mace looked similarly disgruntled. Always so protective over John and any aspersions to his character. Regardless of John's status as a new knight, Obi-Wan didn't expect that to ever change. I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that, John said. Obi-Wan turned to watch his friend more fully as he flipped the hood of his long cloak up over his hair. It cast his face in slightly ominous shadows, a phenomenon that had been humorous when it was just a phase in John's mid-teenage years, but had now unfortunately become part of his signature. Master Plo liked to bemoan it as the inevitably inherited dramatics from Mace's lineage. As if you aren't the one routinely getting us into trouble when I have to get us out of it. Master Mace sent a wave of agreement before twitching an eyebrow in a way that Obi-Wan had long come to learn meant he was deeply amused. I would agree, my Padawans, except that it's a disservice not to mention that you are both disasters. Obi-Wan squawked at the same moment as John, which made both Master Plo and Master Mace pass amusement into the Force. You're all being quite unreasonable, Obi-Wan said. He turned toward their ship. We're going to have a perfectly smooth first mission as knights, just you wait. I have a good feeling about this. That was perhaps a stretch. Obi-Wan certainly had a feeling. It wasn't bad, per se, but something galaxy-shaking was coming. He didn't see shatter points like Master Mace, but he was almost sure that there was a large one resting over this mission. He'd been too afraid to ask. From behind Obi-Wan, he heard a series of groans. Now you've done it, John said grumpily. Despite his words, his strides caught quickly up to Obi-Wan, and he brushed their shoulders together. To Obi-Wan's immense irritation, John was taller than him by several inches, and his gangly limbs seemed determined to keep lengthening the gap. Obi-Wan was learning to live with it, considering Master Che's wince when he'd asked how much additional height he had to look forward to. Shut up, Obi-Wan said waspishly. The ramp of the ship closed behind them with a large clang. He made his way to the cockpit and chose the co-pilot seat. Just for that, you can do the hyperspace calculations. Regardless of the hood shadowing his face, Obi-Wan just knew that John was rolling his eyes. One flight path to Naboo, coming right up. It'll be fine, he said. A perfectly smooth first mission as knights, he said. I have a good feeling about this, he said, John lamented. He was lying flat on the floor of their ship, panting for breath and covered in sand. His clothes were singed in the telltale sign of lightsaber combat, and there was a thin sheen of sweat covering his face. From where Obi-Wan was slumped against the wall, he managed to raise one hand in a rude gesture. Criff, he was grateful that he still had two hands. My apologies, I didn't realize a Sith was a possibility. I'll make sure to factor that in next time. A quiet giggle split the air between them. Obi-Wan jerked his head around in the same moment that John heaved himself into a sitting position. Half-crouched behind some supply crates was Anakin. Obi-Wan was fairly sure he wasn't supposed to be there. He seemed all the smaller, removed from his pod racer in the Bunta Eve Classic. His hair was still brilliant gold, with both a world-weary intelligence and half-frightened deference coloring his expression. As always, Anakin's Force presence was blinding. "So sorry, my dear, I didn't see you there," Obi-Wan said, a placating smile on his face. "You were well out of range of the fighting, I hope." Little Anakin dipped his head. "Yes, Knight Kenobi, I stayed out of range." It seemed true enough, from what Obi-Wan could tell. While Anakin had his own sand scattered around him, there were no bruises or charred clothing in sight. Instead, at his feet, sat a small cloth bag. Obi-Wan felt the beginning hints of suspicion coalesce, still too faint to paint a picture of surety. "Is there a reason you were almost in range?" John asked. "I'm fairly sure we last saw you with Shmi organizing the governmental structure now that Tatooine is freed." Anakin shuffled, eyes directed towards his feet. But then Obi-Wan watched something interesting happen. His shoulders drew back and he raised his head, chin jutting out stubbornly. And it was like Obi-Wan knew what would happen before Anakin opened his mouth. "I'm meant to be a Jedi. I know it," Anakin said firmly. "My mom understands. I have to come with you." Obi-Wan blinked. So, this had been more calculated than he'd been expecting. It was at least good that Anakin had asked his mother's permission, right? Obi-Wan did not want to imagine Shmi coming after them for kidnapping her son. If inciting a planet-wide uprising and slave revolution had taught him anything, it was that Shmi was scary. "She let you come with us," Obi-Wan asked faintly. "I was under the impression she didn't see us as adequate adult supervision." Anakin shrugged. "She also told me I gotta do my best to keep both of you alive, and that it looked like you needed all the help you could get." Obi-Wan winced. That seemed more in character. In their defense, John and Obi-Wan hadn't planned to fall into that Sarlacc pit, or to take Gardula with them. But even if things had been messy, they'd still turned out mostly all right in the end. At least Queen Amidala hadn't gotten herself killed sneaking out onto the surface, though not for lack of trying. "Right," John said. "Well, we can certainly bring you in front of the council. You're older than most initiates, but I'm sure they'll make it work." Obi-Wan could easily hear the hidden, "And if they don't, we'll make them." Truly, the Order had changed a great deal since their early apprenticeships, both in the structure of Padawan-Master relationships and in the crash itself. And if there was any resistance, well, Obi-Wan and John knew people in high places. "In the meantime," Obi-Wan looked over at John, "if you let us take a quick sonic and put on some Bacta, we can teach you how to meditate." Anakin's nose wrinkled. "Boring. Can I use a laser sword?" "After the meditation," John said immediately. Obi-Wan hesitated. That seemed a little fast, but he supposed that initiates started their first saber classes younger. It was probably fine. "I presume," Master Mace said, head resting in the palm of his hand, "that the Shatterpoint, so large it knocked me unconscious 10 days ago, was you two." Obi-Wan shifted awkwardly. He could sense Anakin's anxiety in the Force from where he stood between him and John, and didn't know what to do to ease it. Thankfully, John had it well in hand. I thought you needed a nice midday nap, Master, John replied shamelessly. The amusement Yaddle released into the Force was incredibly obvious, and Anakin's shoulders slumped. If I had hair, it would be white, Mace muttered, just barely loud enough for them to hear. Your mission, how was it? Yaddle asked. Much discord in the Senate, there is. Obi-Wan took the lead on summarizing the series of events that had transpired from their landing on Naboo onward. Ever since his creative report writing in his first apprenticeship, his lineage challenged him to be thorough from all points of view. Obi-Wan, of course, had hit back with reports so thorough that he was still easily able to glide past unpalatable facts. As a result, we made an emergency landing on Tatooine in order to obtain the necessary parts for our ship. And then, here, Obi-Wan hesitated. He wasn't exactly sure how to make this part sound better. Luckily, Anakin had taken his mother's words to heart. Or perhaps unluckily, considering the words that came out of his mouth. And then they killed the Hutts and made them leave and freed all the slaves. Obi-Wan winced at the glares the entire council turned in their direction. Tell me you two didn't directly challenge the Hutt Empire, Master Sifo-Dyas said. He was perhaps the only master who looked more amused than infuriated. Obi-Wan chose to look just at him as he responded. It was unintentional. Mace groaned. Sending you two on a mission together was a mistake, he said. I can tell that isn't even the worst of it. Are you serious? Peel asked incredulously. What could be more dramatic than that? John shrugged, flipping his hood back. Of note was the mostly healed lightsaber burn just barely brushing the line of his chin. I cut the hand off a self-proclaimed Sith apprentice, but I guess it depends on your scale of dramatic. It took a long time for the shouting to calm down after that. Tabling that discussion, for now, Jocasta said, would you like to address your precious tag-along? Obi-Wan reached out to put his hand on Anakin's shoulder, pressing encouragement toward him in the Force. Of course, he began. This is Anakin Skywalker. He is one of the freed who was instrumental in our successful ship repair and the regime change on Tatooine. As I'm sure you can all feel, he is also quite Force-sensitive and wishes to become a Jedi. He is older than the typical initiate brought to the temple, Koth said hesitantly. We're aware, John said, but he feels he is meant to become a Jedi. Besides, I was older than him the first time I set foot in the temple. That is logical, Ki-Adi-Mundi said, except that you were trained prior to that from a young age. Debatable whether we should call that training, Obi-Wan said. None of the council reacted, well aware of the horrors Darkwoman had enacted upon her youngest student. Mace practically picked John up off the side of the road and tried to tame him. John pushed a fence outlined in humor down their bond. Mace simply snorted. I have no regrets, the master said. Look at it this way, Obi-Wan continued. Anakin at least had a good mother who taught him manners. John is still practically feral. I resent this entire conversation, even if it's accurate, John said flatly. Anakin giggled and shared his amusement with the entire council. It was gratifying to watch the way they all softened. Mandatory crash time had been an excellent addition to each Jedi's roster. And who would be the little one's master, Plo asked. Obi-Wan stiffened. There was no way Plo was implying what he seemed to be. Obi-Wan had just been knighted. He was much too young and, arguably, untested to provide his master with a grand Padawan for Criff's sake. Thank Criff, Obi-Wan had learned the trick of siblings everywhere. John, Obi-Wan said quickly. At the same time, John said, Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan turned to his friend with a face of utmost betrayal. John's face was an unfortunate mirror. What I meant to say was, perhaps some time in the creche, I'm sure there will be many masters eager to take on Anakin once he's older, Obi-Wan said hastily. For some reason, Anakin looked absolutely delighted. Some insight, you have, on who your future master may be, Yaddle asked him. Anakin hesitated. I see myself as a Jedi, but my masters, I can't quite see. John cut in. Do they seem like they might have difficulty reaching high shelves? Because I have the perfect candidate. Obi-Wan was going to kill him. Mark his words, at the first opportunity, John was dead. I'm not going to dignify that with a response, Obi-Wan said dryly. Are we all in agreement about Anakin's placement? Jocasta snorted. Let's not pretend that Mace and Plo wouldn't kill us if we interfered. Anakin is welcome among the beings of this order. You two will both guide him and help him settle into his life here, yes? Plo asked, tusks twitching. With the overwhelming certainty that he was stepping into a trap, Obi-Wan nodded in sync with John. It would be our pleasure. Anakin looked entirely too pleased for him to be reassured of his decision. Exhausted after the close call with the Sith and the tumult that followed, Obi-Wan was relieved to collapse into bed, John at his side. Even after all these years, the physical contact was precious. He never quite felt as safe anywhere else. Anakin is all set, John asked drowsily. He's tucked in for the night, Obi-Wan confirmed, voice teasing. Already so parental about your Padawan, aren't you? John stiffened, the reaction painfully obvious with the way Obi-Wan was half-draped over him. I thought he was your Padawan. Obi-Wan froze in turn. Things had been chaotic after the battle. The council had unanimously decided that it would be best for Anakin to be made a Padawan early. The boy had been quite involved in the fighting, after all, and the masters thought it would be best for him to have more personalized support. He was still to spend time with the Kresh clan, but... I never saw the paperwork, did you? No. They both lay in silence for a long moment. Let's deal with that tomorrow, Obi-Wan said. Sounds good. Tomorrow became the next day, and the next. And, well, they both hated paperwork anyway. The end.
Don't let me fool myself, as I often do. If you watch over me, I'll watch over you. I won't let you go somewhere you can't find your way.